Hey everybody, we are back. Hey, let's talk about it. We are here another Friday night. So you guys, we are excited about our podcast on tonight. Again, you have yours truly, Alice and Darina and Dawn on. Hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for real. So, just going to get a quick up date on everybody's week. How did everybody's week go on this week? Who wants to chime in first on their week?
I survived.
I barely survived.
I had the honor of ministering at my father's church on Sunday. And that was the first time I'm gonna say that I actually ministered in person. So that was like a thing, because when I was
In the
younger,
pulpit.
yes, in the pulpit.
Okay.
So I was like, I didn't know if I was gonna be able to stand, because when I say the devil was fighting me, ooh wee. Ever since I said yes to that engagement, I got sent home from work twice. Talking about pain, because even like the night before that Saturday night, I promise you, I had told my sister, I said, you might have to speak, because I don't know if I'm gonna be able to stand. I was so sick. I mean, it was like everything was just going on. I was just like, okay. So I thought, once I got through ministering, the devil would have ramped down that attack. I was so disillusioned. I said, it's a denial is a river in
Oh,
Egypt.
he tricked you,
The
huh? I thought.
river in Egypt.
Yeah, so that was my week.
No, girl. So, of course, so we went to Alabama, had an engagement in Alabama, Saraland. Was doing really good all the way down there. And so it's funny that you got sick on that Saturday. I told you, I think when I talked to you on the phone, I said, I think you were feeling me on Saturday. So I had saltwater fish. I ain't never had it. But I will not ever have it again. I tell you that. I tell you that. Because I ate that fish. It was good. And I didn't eat a lot. I probably ate little bitty, like three little bitty pieces. And when I say little, probably the size of my pinky. Is all I ate because I really wasn't hungry. And so from the time I left the house where we were at and made it back to the hotel, I was sick. My belly looked like I was probably like 5 months pregnant. It had expanded. And I was sick all night. I was in the bathroom all night. I was throwing up. It was coming out of both ends. I was
What kind
hemmed
of
up.
fish was that?
Out whatever salt water it was, I don't think it was catfish, but whatever it was, it had me hemmed up. And so well, Chalice ate it and everybody else ate it. Chesai didn't, Tyrus didn't, and Shayla did it because they can't have fish. But everybody else ate it and they was fine. But everybody that ate it is native of Alabama, down south, except me. And so morning came. And I just was bad. I hadn't slept all night, and I had went back in the bathroom. That's why I spent my day all night. And my hands started to itch. My hands, they went straight red. Hives was spreading up my wrist. I was like, I'm having an allergic reaction. My feet were itching. They was burning. And so, end result, I had to be rushed to emergency care. Because I was having a severe allergic reaction to the fish. So they had to shoot me with Benadryl and prednisone into my hips to try to counteract. So I about killed myself. I about sent myself an anaphylactic shock from eating fish.
A fish
So
that you don't normally eat, correct?
what I don't normally eat. So my stomach is still not. The lining is still irritated from all that, so they put me on prednisone, that little packet to take, and nausea medicine to I get past it. So I was like, well, that was my week.
So much for ministering for you.
Girl, and I still got, so that was Saturday, and I still got on the floor Sunday, and my cognitive thinking was slow. I was slow to the draw because I have Benadryl in my system, and they looking at me like, come on. I was like, oh, y'all just don't understand. Y'all understand? But I got up and I let the Lord do what he had to do, and I sat down. That's what I did. I said what he gave me, and I sat my hind down, and I said, y'all have to handle it from here. That was my mentality. Y'all going to have to handle it from here, because I was sleepy. I wasn't feeling good. But I said, okay, God, I'm going to do what I can do, and you're going to have to take the rest and handle it. And so when he was done, I was finished. But I tell you what, when we left church, I was like, y'all can go do whatever y'all want to do. But as far as me, take me back to the hotel, because I need to lay myself down. So that was my week. So, yeah. So just making it through this week. I'm grateful. Like Dawn said, I'm still here. I'm still here. So what's going on with you, Dawn?
Good, nothing. All I do is work. That's all I do is work. I'm just, I don't know, just this week has been a lot to process with life. I go through those spells every now and then, trying to figure out, am I on the right track? Am I doing the right things? Am I where I need to be, where I'm supposed to be? Have I missed something? Have I missed the ball? Or I have those moments when I try to figure out which it will lead us into our topic for tonight, my identity.
Yeah.
Trying to find myself at 60 years old. You know, I had these moments of aha, these euphoria moments or clarity moments, whatever you want to call them,
right.
And trying to make sure that I'm still on track. And we got a young lady on my job. They promoted her to our supervisor. Mm. Now, I don't have a problem with the young lady. I really don't. She's fine as a supervisor. But the problem was, I didn't even know that they were interviewing on the inside.
Oh, wow.
That's number one. Number two, you just bought her in from the company from another company outside last year. She doesn't have the experience that a couple of us do on the team. We've been on a with the company for a while. And this is something that I'm used to. I've dealt with this all of my professional life, where they overlook you and pass you up for somebody younger. And then they expect you to train them, you know. So that just put me in a state of mind all week. And then the supervisor, my big supervisor, wanted to reach out and say, hey, how's it going? How you feeling? What do you think about all the changes? It was a... Do I answer her for real and lose my job? Or do I keep my mouth shut and let God deal with this? So, you know, and it just brought up a lot of things, and I just felt had me some kind of way. So I was quiet this week. I was really quiet in the job. And of course, you know, I do work three jobs. And so that's the main job. That's the big job, the one I've been on the longest. And it just left me some kind of way. And I was just like, Lord, I need you to give me one job where I make the same amount of money that three jobs is doing right now.
Amen. And
one of the jobs I do is working at the domestic violence shelter. That one I do love. I love that because that's my ministry. That's my passion, you know. And so then it was, am I doing the right thing? How do I make this? How do I go from me being an advocate for somebody else's business to starting my own? And because there's a need, there's such a drastic need for shelters for women and children, and even men. Lots of men are in abusive relationships. So that's just something that I had to place before God, you know, because the scriptures say, write your vision and make it plain. So that's something that I put out there this into with God this week. And it's just like, my mind just started moving. It's like, okay, Lord, enough is enough, you know? And then this thing with the Puff Daddy thing with kids and all that. So I've been in a really strange place this week. Really, really strange place. It left me to a point where I just had to be quiet. Mm-hmm. I had to be quiet and stay before him because it's like, Lord, I'm not liking what's going on, but the only thing that can change that is prayer.
Yeah.
The only thing. So, but with that, I'm good. I really am. I'm okay. Because I know God's going to fix it and take care of it. So,
but you know, isn't it, I don't want to say ironic because I don't really like that word, but how God will take, you know, a topic, identity crisis, at just this moment to be a topic that we would talk about. Not knowing always that, okay, that this moment, this time, that's what I'm going to deal with. You know, I think, I don't know if maybe, I guess my moment on today was, I'm like, Lord, things got to be better. Mm-hmm. These got to be better. I was talking to someone on just today, and I was sharing with them how, just within myself, I feel, Lord, you got greater. But how do I get to the greater?
Mm-hmm.
You have so much greater. I feel it on the inside. And I don't know if y'all ever feel that, where you feel like, God, I know that you have so much more. I know you have so much greater, but how do I obtain the greater? Am I in, like, you know, Dawn was saying, am I in the wrong position? Help me to have clarity on what it is that I'm not doing or I should be doing, and then just knowing that I'm going the right way, that I'm in the right direction. Because, you know, sometimes even with Driven to Purpose, I get a little weary because I'm like, look, I know what you told me to do, and I know that not every way is going to be easy, but you can help me out. You can give me some help. So on the night, our topic is identity crisis. And I know that all of us, and whether people want to face it or not, we all going to go through this period of time in our life where we're not going to know who we are or where we're going. And that's scary. That is scary when you don't know who you are or where you're going. So that's our topic. On tonight, identity crisis, and then how do you navigate your way through it? So that's our topic on tonight. Does anybody want to start about identity crisis? I know, I'm going to grab my phone, y'all. Although I ain't got no glasses on, so we're going to try to make this work as best as we can.
But so, you know what? I think that just means the devil is on his job when he can make you question who you are, when you got to remember whose you are. Because, and I think that's also a part of walking in purpose. When you find out your identity, you can walk in purpose. But because I've been struggling with the whole parenting thing. That's been my struggle, you know, how to counsel and guide and not strangle and
so you know,
true. And then when you have one, you know, it's something when you can just see the devil's devices. And I was like, okay, this is just making me pray a little bit harder. That's a little bit harder.
Yeah. So when we talk about identity crisis, the definition is a period of confusion or uncertainty about who you are or what you want in life. And I think a lot of us, I wouldn't say that I necessarily, I'm not confused about, let me take that back. I was confused about who I was, because I think all of us can identify at one time in life, we knew that we were mothers. We knew that. But after we got to a certain time in life, or well, I'm still in that phase because I still got young ones, that changed to now we're no longer operating in that. Okay, so let me go from this way. So I was a wife, but now no longer am I operating in that capacity because my husband is gone. So now that identity is gone. So I had to go through a period of time where I had to rediscover who I was or who I am now, because I'm not the young woman I was before I got married. I'm not the woman I was when I got married, and I'm not the woman I was when he passed. So now I'm like, who am I? I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going, and I sure don't know what I want. And that time in my life, I even almost forgot whose I was, because the enemy had me so bogged down with life, the stuff of life, that I think Dawn had said this one time, I think it was you, that I believe, remember you telling me you had spiritual amnesia. You remember that? Was that what you, spiritual amnesia. I forgot who I was, and it took a very long time to begin to rediscover the new me. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. Some of that new me I didn't like. I didn't like some of what I saw in me. I didn't like some of what I saw. And so I had to be like, okay, I'm going to have to change some things. I'm going to have to change some stuff. And I'm going to have to figure out what I want in life. Because when you're in that season or part of your life, it's not pleasant. Because first of all, I didn't like me. I didn't like who I was. And I didn't like life. I did not like life. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do different. I didn't know how to fix it. And I was trying to fix it, figure it out, but I couldn't figure out where I was going or what did I need to do different. So I feel you on that one, sis. I feel you, like, okay, God, I'm rethinking some things. What do I do different where I'm at now? How do I fix it? So, you know, like Dorina was saying, first of all, knowing that who you belong to. Get rid of your spiritual amnesia and remember that you belong to God, that you are His, and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then know that God has got a purpose. And a lot of times, identity don't come until you know your purpose.
Yeah, that's true. But let's before we get there, let's talk about all the stuff that leads up to that. When you have identity crisis, you start wearing different masks.
Ooh, sure do.
To get through the day, to deal with people, to what is it? What's that old saying? To fake the funk. And that puts you in a whole different, you get to the point where you're wearing all these different masks to hide who you are, what you are, where you're supposed to be because you don't want to deal with the reality of your situation or your circumstances. And we find ourselves, and there's so many different masks that we wear. And then we start carrying all these heavy burdens of each mask that we're wearing. Like, we become so insecure about life because we don't forget whose we are. Something happened, life sucker punch us. And you'll hear me say that a lot, the sucker punch. That's when you get hit by surprise and it knocks the wind out of you.
Yeah.
And life does that to you. Even when you ground and rooted in God, life happens.
It does.
And it's like Dorinda said, the devil wants to make sure you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and he's going to attack you. And I was talking to someone last night, and they were like, people think the devil comes, everybody's looking for the little red guy with the pointy head, with the pointy horns and the little pitchfork. Mm-mm. No, the devil comes to you as attractive. Whatever you desiring at that time, that's how the devil comes at you. And also that helps, and that affects your identity, because then you become absorbed and immersed in that person or that thing that's taking you away from God and who you really are, because you don't want to deal with your identity. You, like you said, your description was, we become confused. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that happens in childhood. We deal with this with a lot of, forgive me if I mess up these alphabet letters, L, B, G, Q, T. And I'm not being funny. I really don't know the letters, but
yeah, the alphabet coalition. That's what I call
yes,
it.
Yes, the rainbow, the coalition, the rainbow mm-hmm. coalition. GQ. The GQ, thank you. A lot of them don't know their identity. And it starts at such a young age. And then they say, well, I was born like this. No. Well, I feel strange in my body as a male or as a female, and I this and I that. And so it's not just, and it's not just them. I'm just using them as an example.
Yeah, right.
That identity crisis kicks in somewhere in our youth. And if we don't have someone to help nurture us and mold us to who we really are, who we really supposed to be, or show us our purpose, help us get to our purpose, we'll struggle with that from youth all the way into adulthood. And then we start wearing different masks because you try to tell somebody, and because they don't understand, they start judging you. Mm-hmm. So then you become fearful, and then you become withdrawn. And then you try to fit into the wrong crowds that you ain't got no business with. And I'm speaking from experience on that one. Because I'm trying to fit in, I want people to like me. I want people to understand me. I want people to help me. Tell me who I am. Tell me where I'm supposed to be. And you don't figure that out because right. They don't know. They just as lost as confused, and they don't know their own identity.
Right. And you put on a mask that, how can I say this? Or a robe or a garment that's not yours. It wasn't fit for you, but I'm going to put it on because I don't know who I am, but that looks good. So I'm going to wear that. I'm going to put on this garment. I'm going to put on this mask because that looks good. Maybe that's me, but we don't ever, like you said, stop and try to connect with somebody. And sometimes the enemy will send you that very thing. That very thing that is not you, but because maybe that is me. So I'm going to pick that up and I'm going to put that on. And y'all know I had this one garment that I wore, and everybody, and this is going to be, I wore a garment of shame for a very long, long time. And maybe people may think like, that's not a, it is. It is a garment. It is a mask that we do wear of a situation that I did not cause to happen. But a lot of times somebody will speak a thing and we'll pick it up and we'll put it on. And I think that's what happens when it comes to our identities. somebody will label us as it, and then we take it. And that's not God's portion for us, but we'll put it on because we don't know anything else. And it is important that we stay around those that have, first of all, heart after God, that can hear God, and that can help navigate us. And I think most of the time we go the opposite direction because we're looking for somebody to reveal to us who we are. And honestly, nobody can do that but God. Somebody can give us words of encouragement, but the only person that can really identify who you are is Christ. And a lot of times we don't want to wait for the revelation. We just want a quick fix. I know I did. I don't know if y'all are saying, well, I just want him to fix it quickly. I want him to make it plain. I don't want to go through this process of me trying to figure out who I am, where I'm going. I don't want to do that. This is just me. I told her I don't want to do that. It's too much. It's too much stress. It's wearing me out. It's making me old. It's hurting me. Lord, you can make this simple. Why you got to make it so hard? Mm-hmm. Why it's got to be so hard? This is Alice's. All you got to do is
why
it got to
take so long? That's my question. Why you taking so long?
All you got to do is say a word. Speak one word. You said let there be, and there was. Why can't you just tell me? So that's how
you got to learn something. There's something in that moment that you have to learn. There's something in that moment that you have to give. There's something in that moment that you have to help somebody. You don't know what it is. We don't know. But we have to stay there until it's accomplished.
Yeah, but staying is hard.
Well, you know, the scripture said weeping and joy for the night, but joy coming in the morning. My question has always been, how long is the night? It ain't the joy, it's how long is the night? Is it 24 hours? Is it 3 days, 3 years, 2 months? What?
Yeah,
but you know, we wear these different masks, and I'll use a different scenario. I know I use the Rainbow Coalition, the Rainbow Culture, but a different identity for me was I grew up in an all black neighborhood. I'm light, bright, and close to white.
Yes, you are.
No, not gonna hold you up. My dad's white. My mom's black. But I grew up, my brothers and sisters, dark as all outdoors, so is my mom. I had to fight every day because I had long, thin hair, light, bright, skinny as all outdoors. Trying to figure out who I was, that took decades, years, because that carried from my childhood to my teenage, to my adolescence, to teenage, and in some cases, to my adulthood. I had to fight to prove that I could fit in. So I'm playing great. I got my butt beat every day because I couldn't fight worth a lick, you know. But you held your own, you know. Yeah. But I dealt with that, and then I got around people, and I didn't know where I fit. You know, I didn't fit in with the blacks. I didn't fit in with the whites. I looked Hispanic. I didn't fit in nowhere, And it was, and until God actually spoke to me and said, you fit in with me. You are mine. You'll never fit in with the world. So quit trying. Look, what? Who are you? What are you talking about? No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to fit with you. I don't know you. I want to hang out with these people.
Yeah, that are tangible. Yeah.
But those tangible things kept me getting in trouble. To the point where every time God had to intervene and keep telling me, but you belong to me. Your identity is in me. You know, and it was like, you'll never fit into this world because you don't belong to this world. And when you accept that as Christians, I can't speak for those that are not Christians, but as Christians, when you don't fit in and you don't belong, it ain't gonna never feel right. Mm-hmm. You gonna feel like you wearing left shoes all day long, two left shoes on your on your hands. You know what I'm saying? It ain't gonna never, because you don't fit in. We're not here. I tell people all the time, this your world. I'm just visiting. Because at the end of the day, we are Christians. We are bought by the blood of Christ. When we said, yes, Lord, here am I. Save me. Deliver me. I'm sorry, Lord. Then our identity became his identity became our identity.
Wow. Wow. So true.
He's now my big brother. He's my daddy. He's my Abba. He's my best friend. You know, my confidant. He understands me. I understand him, you know, but it took years to get there. Mm-hmm. Because you have to, when you're wearing these different masks, you're hiding who you are. You're hiding the loneliness that you're feeling. You're hiding the isolation that's going on. You're hiding the abuse, if there is abuse in your life. You're hiding so many things, so many layers. It's like, I want to say, you know, people always compare it to onions, but it's not an onion. I want to say a pomegranate. Have you ever peeled a pomegranate?
Mm-hmm.
And how many sections there are in a pomegranate? You think once you got one, you think you'll pull a whole section like an apple? No. You pull a pomegranate apart, you get this little bitty piece, and it's got a million seeds in it.
That's
and you
true.
Suck all those seeds, you spit that out, and then you peel it apart again. You got all these other. It's like that. That's your identity, these different seeds in this pomegranate that every time you pull it apart, there's different things, and it's your job, it's your life, it's your kids, it's your dog, it's your cat, it's your boss, it's your friend, it's your car. It's just life.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Yeah.
And if you don't know who you are, and if you can't pick up your word or read it on your phone, or just sometimes you got to go to the park like I do, but like, look, Lord, we got to talk. You know, again, I told y'all I ain't saying.
Yeah, we got to have a conversation.
We got to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Show me where I'm wrong. And, you know, because I'll snap off and pop off in a minute. And then God just waits and he'd be like, you know, you got to apologize, right? He'd be like, no, we're not doing that. No. But I can't move until I apologize and I fix what I did.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to what you were saying earlier. We get in those positions where we want to move, but we can't leave that situation or circumstance until we're done with the assignment that God has put before us, whatever identity or role we are in that particular time and space. Because when you're stuck there, you got reason, season. Why are you there? What you supposed to learn? Who you supposed to help? Who's supposed to help you? And right. You can't move. And I'll go back to the church we talked about a couple weeks ago. Every time I left a church because a church hurt, I ended up in another church getting hurt the exact same way. But the last time I left a church because a church hurt, God said, if you leave now, you will have to repeat everything.
Yeah, because you didn't learn your lesson.
You stay and let me release you, you'll never have to encounter this again. That was a hard pill to swallow, but I did it because I knew I wasn't wrong. Each time I wasn't wrong. And God starts showing what the people who had hurt me, starts showing that to the other people that they were whispering and talking about me too. Oh, wait a minute. She wasn't wrong. Y'all did this to her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So because of my identity in Christ and because I held firm in who I am as his child, he handled that. He fixed that. When you're comfortable knowing I am a child of God, he's going to fight my battles. He's my Jehovah Jireh. He's my Jehovah Nissi. He's my Jehovah Shalom. He's my Jehovah. When he becomes all of that for you, that's where your identity lies. Then you can say, I'm good, but I'm not holding on. Now, remember, you heard me say earlier, I was having some issues this week. Good or not, you still got to have some get right. You got to have some growing pains. You got to have somebody to say, hey, you good this week?
Because I'll text the person, hey, you good? All you got to say, yep, nope, okay. Conversation, ready to talk, what? So you got to have those people in your life. Like Alice said earlier, those ones that's willing to pour into you, those ones that want to mentor you, those ones that can understand you, those ones that's been where you are, that's going to take you out of that hole and help you get out of it and put you where they are now and help you move on. Sometimes you got to cut ties. Because when you realize you don't fit in with the flow, you better get up out of there before you find yourself in jail, find yourself in a situation you can't get. No, seriously.
So true. That is so true. So
you find yourself in positions and you got to cut ties. You got to admit that, hey, I'm scared. But the only person that can help you is God.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said something so powerful. And I don't know if you heard yourself when you said about identity. Christ identity. When you take on Christ, you take on a new identity. I don't know if you heard yourself when you said that. So as a believer, there's an identity that we take on. So we've given, and I preached a message one time, because a lot of times we don't even know what our name is. But Christ is giving us, when we come into Christ, he's given us a new name, a new identity. And that's why most of the time we're walking around not knowing who we are, because we haven't taken on Christ. But when we really take him on, he'll give us our identity. And then that disrobing, when you talked about them layers and layers and layers, he'll start stripping them away one by one, and he'll start revealing to you who you really are and what he has poured into you. But that disrobing can be painful, even sometimes embarrassing. But I will tell you, let him disrobe you. Let them pull it off. Let them pull the layers off of you so you can know who you are. Oh,
it's
yeah. Ooh, because I can tell you sometimes I would cry. And then some of them I didn't even know that I had. Some of the masks I didn't even know I put on. And there was times that I would break down because I was like, Lord, I didn't know that I had that. I didn't know I was doing that. I didn't see that. But I seen it and I had to say, Lord, forgive me, because I didn't know that I had put that on. And some embarrassing moments to like, girl, you in shame. But I didn't stay there. I didn't stay in that place. I allowed God to strip, because I wanted to know. I wanted to remember who I am in God and who he was to me. So yeah, that's taking on the identity of Christ is key. It is key if you really want to know who you are.
And again, I like giving scenarios. I like giving situations, and you hit this one on the head, and Renda hit it on the head too. We lose ourselves in our identity when we forget we don't know who we are. In your case, you're a wife. What happened to Alice? Alice can't take care of Alice no more, because now I'm a wife and I got to tend to my husband's needs because he's the head of the household. Oh, and then we start having children, babies, kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get absorbed with the, and I don't know about y'all, but my kids went through, I had basketball, volleyball, football, wrestling, track, field. I had all of that with my daughter and my son. And then I got so intense and immersed with them because I was so hurt that I didn't want nobody to love me anymore because of what their fathers did to me. I just refused that I'm going to absorb myself into my children, that my world, my identity became, I'm their mother. I'm Sierra and Nick's mom.
Mm-hmm.
But then reality hit in, then I became an empty nester. One left because they're 5 years apart. I still have one home. I'm good. But when my son left and went away, I took him to school, and my daughter and they cried, and his girlfriend cried all driving. It wasn't until I got home that I crawled into his bed, and I literally started crying because my last child had left home, and now I didn't know what to do with Dawn. Who is Dawn? What am I supposed to do? Girl, I was running up and down that highway trying to get to Central Michigan every chance I could just to be with my son. My daughter was doing her own thing and all that, but it was like, who am I?
Yeah, yeah, because they said that's they didn't even call you by your name no more.
No.
They identified you as, that's
Nick's mom.
That's Nick's mom.
That's Sierra's mom. They still do. Hey, big Nick mom, you know. And then you start getting absorbed in work. So then because again, you still don't want to deal with who you are. You still because you don't forget how to take care of who you are.
Yeah.
You don't get so comfortably numb to who you really are because I'm not a wife. Husband's gone. Boyfriend, husband, spouse, whatever, significant other's gone. My children are gone for whatever, you know, whatever. So now I'm absorbed in work. That's all I do is work, because I don't want to deal with who I am. So now there's the professional Dawn over here. And then if I was the one that wanted to hang out and go with my girlfriends, there's the party Dawn over here. You know, you got that group of friends from the church where you're on Sunday. Hey, hallelujah, praise God. Holy, 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 holy. And then on Friday, Saturday, the club, they want to go to the club. You over here in this place dropping it like it's hot. You know what I'm saying? Because you're trying to fit in someplace and you're an adult now.
Mm-hmm.
Those identities crisis kicks in throughout your lifehood. You start struggling. But then when you do finally commit and give yourself to God, wholeheartedly, because life again sucker punches you and you find yourself looking up from a deathbed, from a jail cell, from a pit, wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
out of a job, don't have food, can't pay your bills, and you look and say, Lord, I remember when. Can you do it again? And so we have these different stages of identity. We have these different stages of who we really are. But then somewhere along the line, you wake up one day and say, you know what? I've been taking care of everybody but me. And all these people I'm taking care of, I've helped. You can't find nan one of them. Where they at? Who's helping you?
Living life.
My daughter said that to me last week. She said, you always helping people, but where they at?
Living life, yeah, living their life, and we can't be. Don't feel bad about wanting to have a life, and I did not figure that out until after my husband left. Now, before I got married, I was doing me. I was enjoying ministry, enjoying life, enjoying singleness, enjoying just who I was. And then, but I did, I lost who I was in the process of married and children. And when he had left and I was like, okay, now I'm spent like a top. I don't got no direction. I don't know where I'm going. But I knew I didn't want to just be mom. I didn't want to just be that because I'm like, Lord, you got to have more for me than just being Chaylisa, Chaysiah, and Chayla's mom. There's got to be more to me than that. And at first I felt bad. And then the Lord said, why? You can't feel bad about wanting more out of life than just being a mom, being a dad, being a wife, because that's not the only thing you was created to do. So don't let guilt hit you because you want to go and do so much greater than just that. That's amazing. But there's more to you than just that. And majority of the time we get caught just there. But I figured out I'm grateful that my girls are like, mom, go, go, go. But I told him I was going anyway. I'm going to do everything that God allows me to do. And then when you get to that place, you'll find fulfillment. You'll find fulfillment. You'll find contentment. You'll find peace. And you'll even be happy. You'll have your happy moments. Mm-hmm. And you'll have joy. But you can't feel bad about saying, I want a life beyond you.
Sometimes you got to be selfish, especially when you get older. It's like, you know what? And that's where I'm at now. It's like, bump y'all. I'm gone. I'm out.
But you know what? I think it's easier when your children are a little bit older for you to start being selfish. When you have younger children, I think it's kind of hard.
You know, when they're babies,
I find it harder.
When they're babies,
when you say younger children, what age are you talking about? Because some of these young kids think they can control their mama too. Where you going? Mm-hmm. Who you hanging out with? Well, what age are we talking about?
Well, when I say younger, I'm thinking about high school and younger.
No, not really. No, because I got a 16-year-old and I got a 12-year-old. And I believe it's how you parent them. Now, all of my girls are very mature. They're very responsible. But my thing is, if I continue to wait till they grow up, first of all, Chaseiah is 16. Chayla is 12. If I wait for them to grow up, I will never accomplish nothing but being their mama. I believe that you have to find a balance between them and you. And majority of the time, we let our children outweigh us. And we let them overshadow, because God has ministry for everybody. He has purpose for everybody. And I understand that our first responsibility as moms is to home. Take her home. I ain't telling you to run the street and be gone all the time, that they don't have what they need. Still provide what they need, but also provide what you need. Because what's going to happen is you're going to be forever unhappy, forever behind the veil or behind the mask. And then when they leave home, you still like, I don't know what I'm doing. Because that's what I exhort my life into. Everybody got to understand, eventually, old kids, if they are children that evolve and grow, are eventually going to leave home. And you're going to be left either with your husband or by yourself if you're not married. And then now you got to try to figure out where you going. I'm not doing that. I'm because there's greater. There has to be a balance. You have to find a balance between home and what you want. Now, some people take it to the extreme and just be like, forget the kids, forget the house. I'm doing me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying prayerfully say, okay, God, how do I balance home in me that I don't feel like I have no life, that I can't breathe, that I don't know who I am, that I don't. Show me how to balance life. And I am a living witness. He will show you how to balance your family and what he's called you to do. So I believe that it's a balance. There's a balance between both. Now, if your baby is a toddler or an infant, yeah, you got a pause moment. Pause for a minute. Get them to where they are capable of and mature enough to be able to, okay, go to the bathroom and come back. And I'm not talking about 8 or 9, no, because the world crazy. The world, we just going to be honest.
No, we're going to be honest, yeah.
The world is crazy, but when they're mature enough, Shayla is 12, Chaseiah is 16, Chaseiah helped her go to the bathroom. Yeah. I don't got to do that no more. Chalice is 21. Chili's, go with your sister to the bathroom. I don't have to do that no more. Now, when she was 9, I got up and went with her because they were still growing up. But I believe that there's a balance. But you can't be so absorbed in your children or your home that you lose
anything,
who you are.
Anything. But that's something that takes
it. It's hard. It's hard to do that.
It's very hard. It's very hard.
Because I did it for 15 years. Well, until Chris left, and y'all know that, my life was my family. That's what I did. Yeah, I sung praise and worship, got up every now and then and spoke, but my bubble was my family. And when he left, that sent me it woke me up. It did. It woke me up because I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do now. I literally said that. When he left here, when God called him home, I literally said, I don't know what I'm gonna do now. I don't have no clue what I'm gonna do. I don't, because I was used to cooking breakfast, cooking lunch, cooking dinner. It's the girls don't eat breakfast and lunch and dinner like that. That was Christopher. To now, I'm not cooking breakfast. I'm not cooking lunch. I'm not cooking dinner.
And happy about it, right?
But at first, I wasn't. And at first, I couldn't even step foot in the kitchen. I couldn't step in the kitchen for almost 2 years. I couldn't do it. And then when I got in the kitchen, the kids was like, Mama, you're cooking bad. What happened? What happened, Mama? You'd have lost it. You'd have lost your ability. That's because I was going through, I don't know who I am anymore. It was even affecting the way I cooked, the way I did laundry, just everyday living.
Because you were existing.
Exactly.
You were just existing. No.
And when you are in identity crisis, you're just existing. But that's not God's plan for your life. It's not. So I'm so glad I shook myself. Well, the Lord shook me and said, I got more for you. I got more for you than this. So let me disrobe you. Let me take off the mask that you done put on because you smile in people's face and you're really not smiling. You really just want to tell them to get out your face is really what you want to tell them to do. But you don't. You continue to smile at them. But it's fake. I want the realness to come out. So I'm going to have to disrobe you. And isolation was, I know people are like, girl, you was hidden. Yeah, he had to hide me. He did. He had to hide me.
Into the cave, you go.
You know what? You had a lot of people running interference for you too, though.
That part. Yes. Tell the truth.
Yeah. You had a lot of people running interference for you. So
I had to. The two that's in front of me was running interference.
You have to find your people.
Yeah, because y'all was my blockers. Y'all was blocking some straight up daggers, some fire. People was firing at me, but y'all was blocking through prayer and through a lot of come on, you can hold on. And this is what we're talking about. When we say you have to find those individuals that have a heart after God, that really love the Lord and that really loves you. Mm-hmm. Because and all that's great. Thank you, Lord. But they got to love you and they got to see what God has placed in you, because I'm going to tell you, they have to put up with some stuff with me because I didn't want to talk. I don't want to be seen. So you have to be connected. But if you listen, God will send the right people into your life that can pull some stuff out of you. Because they many days they was like, come on. Come
on. The devil has seen some people that pull some stuff out of you too. Because I know you was ready to throw hands on. I'm like, oh, you's a lie coming up in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to replace your husband.
Ooh, you're not going there. Ooh.
I'm just saying.
I had a stalker. Y'all just don't understand. But you know what? But I saw it for what it was. And the thing is, I wasn't deceived. And so this is for y'all that are listening. Y'all hear me real good. In those crisis moments, don't allow the enemy to trick you. because that is a perfect spot that he'll try to get you into, and he'll bring fake people into your camp, and you'll fall for it because you're in a place of vulnerability. But baby, I didn't fall for it. I saw for what it was, stalker. And I told this individual, don't ever come back to my house again. And I was just as, I was nice, but I was straight up, I will cut you. I ain't talking about physical knife, so y'all don't get it twisted.
I don't know. Yes, she was.
She was hurting and she wanted to hurt somebody, and that person was gonna get it.
I don't play. And I don't know, people thought because my husband had just passed away that I was stupid and dumb. Was not.
Or desperate.
And I made it clear to him, you're going to have to be better than the one I had. And you ain't. And that's what I said to their face. I don't hold no bars. I said it to their face. You're going to have to be better than the one I had, and you ain't. So you, at least I knew that much. I may have been in a identity, don't know what, but I was not dumb. I was not stupid. I was not desperate. So, but yeah, I knew Dawn was going to throw hands on somebody if she had to body slam
somebody. I'm that person. I'm your person.
She would go like, I got you. So
this, repent later. Yes, that's me. I'm sorry.
You got to have sisters that will go with you in the war. And I'm not talking about just physical hands. I'm talking about spiritual war. Yeah. I'm talking about spiritual war, because even when I didn't talk to them, I knew they were praying for me. I knew they were speaking life over me, just as I do for them. Even though I may not talk to them every day, now we do. We talk pretty much, text pretty much every day. But I war for them in the spiritual realm all the time, because I know that there's greater in both of them. So much grace, so much anointing. And we're in the season that God is pouring out mighty and great things. And this is not, he's not doing this for everybody. He's got a selective few that he has pulled out of the hidden places.
I was going to say, It's our time.
This is our time. This is our time, and this is our season. So, y'all, we may been in some identity crisis, and some of us are still navigating our way through. But we coming out. We coming out on top, in victory, and walking in our purpose in God. So, y'all, identity crisis. When you know who you are in God, you won't have spiritual amnesia by no means. What else y'all got to say? So I didn't talk. That's it. That's all I got. What you got to say? I know you got scriptures. Yeah, come on.
But I wanted to, for some people may not realize that spiritual amnesia is a real thing. It really is. And it is actually, you could talk about it. Ecclesiastics 1 and 11 can kind of, it kind of touches that. It says, there's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who came after. So there, that thing is a real thing. Spiritual amnesia, when you forget things, good, bad, saved or unsaved. So that's a real, real thing. And that's something we can touch. We can make that a topic for a later event.
Y'all put a pin in that.
Put a pin in that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to say this. There's five signs of you having to, if trying to figure out if you have identity crisis: questioning your basic understanding of who you really are, feeling anxiety, agitation, or dissatisfaction with life, changing yourself, and this is a lot of us, to suit any environment, situation, or relationship. Trouble answering questions about who you are, about yourself. Tell me something about yourself. How many times you hear that question, especially in job interviews? You can't even, you be sitting there like, Well, I'm a mom. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. They don't want to know that. They want to know what you can bring to the table. But anyway, and last and not least, is number five, is not being able to trust that you can make good decisions. If you are experiencing any of those with identity, then that means you are in some type of identity crisis or you're heading that way. I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can read on and that'll help you with that. I advise you and recommend you to go to someone that you trust, a leader, a mentor, a friend. You know, all of, we got to have friends as Christians from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. That's going to tell you, hey, nope, you're doing that wrong, or the holier than thou friends, or however you want to call them. But at the end of the day, you're still friends. So I'm going to start with 10 scriptures real quick. And I know we're running short on time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 1 Peter 2:9, Ephesians 2:10, 2 Timothy 1:7, John 1:12, Colossians 3:3, 2 Corinthians 5:21, John 1:11-13, and 1 Corinthians 12:26-27. And read up on those scriptures, get them in your spirit. Because sometimes I tell my kids all the time, I tell people all the time, find one scripture that you can hold on to that's going to keep you safe. And mine is always, greater is he that's within me than he that's within this world. Because I'll be going there sometimes and that scripture has to get played over and over in my head. So find that scripture that you can hold on to remind you of who you are in Christ. And then and just this last thing I want to say, there is no offense, and I got this right, to the LGBTQ community. We love you all. We don't judge. We ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in.
Amen.
But we are here if you want us to talk with you, pray with you, and be there for you. Because sometimes you just need somebody that's going to keep it real with you. Again, we don't judge. But to the LGBTQ community, not the rainbow community, that community, we love you.
Yes.
And we mean no harm.
Love you with the love of the Lord.
No harm, no judgment here, okay? So I just wanted to throw that at you. We love you. Stay encouraged. Find out who you really is in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Dorina, you got something to say before we sign off?
I agree with everything that has been said. And I'm saying is it means much to have those that are able to spiritually see in your corner. So even when you are in an identity crisis, they're able to pull you along, just like you're leading a toddler, because sometimes you know how she said the spiritual amnesia. I was like, I don't want to be like the children of Israel, but God help me, so put people in my life that's able to see what you have in store for me when I can't see.
Amen.
Because yes. I am blinded or have clouded vision. So
yep. All right. So y'all, spiritual amnesia, identity crisis. So Lord, we ask that on tonight, those that are listening to this podcast, we ask you to lead them to someone that can help navigate them while they're in this season of uncertainty. We ask you to reveal to them your plan, reveal to them their identity, so they can walk in purpose, walk in freedom, and walk in liberty.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, we ask you to lead and guide them to who you have created them to be. And let them know that you're with them, that you'll never leave them, that you'll never forsake them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So y'all, amen. We thank you for joining us on tonight on Hey, Let's Talk About It. Let's Talk About It For Real. So y'all remember, go to our Cash App, $Driven in Purpose, and you can sow a seed into there, and it will go into Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for real. Also on Driven and Purpose Facebook page, you can make any comments to us. If you have any topics that you want us to talk about, post it there. And you guys were here to encourage. And like my sisters always say, we don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, but we're here to encourage you to hold on and know that you have a purpose and God has a plan for your life. So until next Friday, hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Good night, everybody. Love y'all. Awesome. Good night.
Good night.
We enjoyed y'all on time.